Of all times, when things are as they are, it's time for Holy Communion, to come to the table of the Lord. And with that, that's what this is about today, is drawing that strength from Him. Because when you're your weakest, you're your strongest if you love Him. Because that's when He comes down and touches you and raises you up. Open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to do a little different today on communion. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Our Father's Word is so precious. And sometimes we forget what the Savior has done for us. That it was His blood that was over the doorpost that the death angel had to pass over. And after all, who is death? That's one of Satan's names. So to keep your home secure, to keep peace in your family, and to have the blessings of God, don't ever forget what He has done for us. Isaiah chapter 53, and it reads, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Well, it's to God's elect. Verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire." So many people misunderstand that. It means that he is so beautiful, he desires, you would desire nothing more. He is complete from within and without. His appearance gives us that strength and that comfort in the beauty in which God Himself, our Father, came and tabernacled with us in that body called the only begotten Son, showing us the way. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." You know, on that night, they all ran. They left him alone. You're not going to do that in this generation. When you have to make that stand for him, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it boldly. And that's what he brought you to this moment for, is to not wimp out, but to, with the glory of God and the touch of the Holy Spirit, to stand your ground. Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And he was. You know, what do you think he was thinking while that was happening? You think he wanted to change his mind? No, he didn't. He could have called down 10,000 angels and smashed to smithereens those that came against him. But he was thinking of you. That he had to do this for you. That he paid that price that you could have through partaking of his table. That same communion. That evil must pass over you because Christ became that our Passover. And in that Passover and in partaking of his body and his very being, then we have the victory. We have the strength. He took that and he did not whimper. He did not complain. Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." He had none, but we do. And he was wounded because of ours. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And that's why when we partake of this Lord's table today, if you have an infirmity, if you have a weakness, let it be cleansed and let it be touched. With his body ye are healed. Don't pass that by. And even if you have a loved one at home that maybe needs a little boost, take it in proxy for them. And God will honor it. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Seems so very unfair that we would leave him, that our people at that time did, left him. Not going to happen again. You're going to make that stand. You're prepared for it mentally, spiritually, and physically. You know that Satan cannot harm when you partake of the table. And when you're a believer, Satan cannot harm one hair on your head, as it is written in Luke chapter 21, when you're delivered before him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. It was that moment and that time. That was the Passover, and he became our Passover. Again, what do you think he was thinking? He was thinking of you. Every generation that would believe upon him, that he was making it possible for your sins to just be washed away. I mean, don't even bring it up again. It's washed away. He did that for you. Why? It's really quite simple. He loves you. How bad it would be if you didn't return that. What a sad case that would be. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't complain. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? You will. For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Again, willingly, he didn't complain. Verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked. He was crucified hanging between two thieves, and praise God, he converted one of them through the very crucifixion itself. For he would say to the one when he would stand for him, this day I will see thee in paradise. And he did. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was innocent. But we're not. And that's why he did it for you. So that on the partaking of the table of the Lord, and on faith and believing, and asking and repenting, it's washed away. Totally done away with. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You might say, well, why would he do that? Well, he was Emmanuel, God with us. He was your father. You're his children. That's how much he loves you. Love is an awesome, powerful force. What one will do for love, for true love, for understanding. And oh, how he does love his children. Let his children return that love to him, especially in these troubled times. When the table of the Lord becomes our strength, our power, our forgiveness, and gives us the ability to stand and stand for all. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. But at the same time, letting the knowledge of why he did it, what the purpose of it was, so that we, in his strength and power, his dunamis, can give you that strength it takes to prevail. Verse 12, to continue. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession of the transgressions. In verse 9, we saw that he was buried with the rich, his own Joseph of Arimathea. He didn't run. Joseph was there to claim the body and to put him in a new human tomb from which the resurrection would transpire. It is an amazing thing when you think this was God with us and that He did this for you. You know, you can get a little better idea of why He did this in Hebrews chapter 2, which is a little unusual for a communion service, but not for this one today. Hebrews chapter 2 in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 2 in the New Testament reads, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." You don't want to forget your teachings. You want to pay strict attention to what Christ does for you. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward," you always get what you got coming to you, sometimes all at one time on that judgment day, "how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, that obeyed Him, that followed Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will," bringing that forth for people. Why did He do it? Verse 5, "For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." 6, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him?" What does man really mean to you? Well, there were his children. And you know that love of a father for a child. Verse 7, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." Do you understand that? God Himself came in the flesh because He asked you to. Well, this old flesh is sure a hard trip. He showed us how to do it. He showed the way. Why? Again, because He loves you. He wanted you to know how to not whimper, how to not make excuses, how to be in Him, with Him, and for Him. That our Father came Himself to pay this price for you. Why again? Because He loved you. Verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." Why did He leave a little of it undone? Well, let me think. Wonder what He has the elect for. Wonder if they're just like a little knot on a log out here somewhere just to be pretty. Or if they're supposed to work. If they're supposed to do something. If they're supposed to make a stand. Christ is at the right hand of God in heaven. He's not coming back here for a while other than spiritually. He expects us in the witness with the Holy Spirit speaking through you to put the rest of it under His feet. What an honor to serve one that loves you so very, very much that He came Himself and showed us the way how to get it done. Verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man," cutting the path and showing us the way. Do you know what He did? He defeated death. He destroyed it. No one's spiritual body dies. It instantly returns to the Father who gave it. "For it became Him from whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, no gender in this, and daughters unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He showed us the way. Boy, what a day that must have been. And I know some of us will say sometimes, well, boy, you don't know how hard it was today. Oh, tell me about it. Poor baby. Poor little baby. You know, think about your Savior and then be quiet. Hush. 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Do you understand that? The living God is not ashamed to call you brethren, brothers and sisters in him. He claims you. Again, well, why would he do that? Because he loves you. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's what the church is supposed to do, is to bring praise to he who did this for us and made it complete, that we, through his endeavors, have this peace that you can partake of willingly, gladly, and safely, knowing that he loves you. 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Where is your trust? Verse 14, this is the purpose. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. That's the whole purpose, is to destroy wickedness that originated in the first earth age and comes on into this one, that we can make that stand. And in all and after all, and all is said and done, death will die. And that death is Satan, the death angel that would like to come into your family and mislead you and stir stuff up. You don't have room for him. You serve the Savior. That's why we come to the table of the Lord, is to be infilled with his Spirit and with truth and with power to know and to understand, but most of all, to serve him. That's what's truly, truly important. The point being, he didn't ask you, I don't care how tough you think it might get, you know, God knows who can handle the tough stuff. That means you're something special. Okay? Because you can cut it. You're not some wilted little old hothouse tulip that's going to curl up its heels and flip over when the first adversary comes along. You're going to stand because he stood for you. Verse 16, verse 15, he destroyed the devil. That's why he did it. Well, why did he die on the cross? Then read this verse 14, and find out. 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Set them free. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, to show you how to get it done. You can't say, well, he was supernatural. No. He took on a flesh body, the only begotten, to show you how to get it right. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation. You want me to read that again? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And he does it gladly. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. This word secure means a down payment. It's a legal term. It means He can save you when you repent. And again, that's why we come to the table of the Lord. That's why we have this table of the Lord, that sins are forgiven, and that you can love Him and serve Him when you partake of Him. This is His body. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Christ became our Passover. When you partake of Him through this table, that same death angel must pass over you when you have the faith and the muscle up here to get it done. You're not a wimp. You're one of God's elect. You don't have time to wimp and complain. Well, times are just rough. They're not as rough as He had it on the cross. And He's always there to back you up when you've got the faith to know it. I don't mean any doubt. I mean to know it. He's there with you. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward at this time, please.
The Mark of the Beast on CD.